What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Challenge Podcast, more specifically the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick.
And today we're going to be talking all about what is measured is managed. So we're going to be talking about data, lots of data. And I think as soon as you say that word data, a lot of people have some preconceived ideas that maybe cause them to cringe a little bit, or maybe wants to make them reach out for, I don't know, a pair of glasses and don on the accounting gown. Mm. And there's sometimes some fears, anxieties, and everything in between with data. And, you know, sometimes data is related to things like computers. Sometimes data is related to things like equations and complications and maths. And, oh, geez, maths, right?
Yeah.
But I think it plays an important role in our body transformation. It plays an important role in what we're trying to achieve. And it plays an integral part in life, right? We need
Definitely.
To measure things so that we can manage those things, right?
It all comes down to numbers.
Yeah, it really does. But look, Nick, just starting talking to you about your comp that's coming up soon.
Yes.
You know, how are you going with your comp prep at the moment?
Oh, really well. And that is because I have got specific goals that are related to data. Very much like I know exactly where I want to be with skin folds and goals relating to that. So for me, it's fairly simple to manage that without being too emotional, just by looking at my data and making sure it's tracking in the direction that I want to go. Now, comp prep is the extreme end of that, but it's a really good way to see how numbers are very important when it comes to body composition and when it comes to calories and all the things that we're going to talk about today. So I'm having a ball with it. It just means that I'm very much in the extreme end at the moment. So I'm in the end where I have to count everything, every rep, everything that goes into my mouth. You know, measured, precise. So I'm going to probably be a little bit obsessive today on that side of it, just because of my headspace.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily want to live in that headspace, but it's a really good way to really understand how important data is. And also, once you get to learn it, how much control you can have over it, which is so awesome, because once you unpack that, the control that you can have over your data is, you don't let it control you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. No, put well. Well, when you talk about data, like, what kind of things are you recording? What kind of things are you measuring for your progress?
Okay, so mine's pretty extreme, because I get to measure all sorts of places around my body as well as skin folds. That's two different things. But we also measure then in the gym different strength goals. So making sure that I'm actually not losing too much strength, which equates to making sure that I retain muscle. Because for bodybuilding, it's not a diet competition. It's actually retaining as much muscle as you can while being in the best condition that you can. So you need to make I need to make sure that I am still able to lift certain amounts of weight. I've got my weights in my head that are always, I'll never go below. Like, and if they carry me to my grave, I'll be still lifting a certain amount of weight. That's it.
You know?
So, I think that's very, very important. That data, if I didn't have all of that, I wouldn't have a clue what was going on. And you can't really be, I'm planning to do well, and you can't really be a champion without knowing every single thing about yourself.
Yeah. Well, look, if I was to don my scientist hat, there was a saying that came up at uni, which they said that if you're not measuring something, you're just guessing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a challenge that I see consistently in the Facebook group, in the challenge, in the forums, in the Facebook group, online, even outside of the challenge, such as, you know, on social medias and people involved in the fitness space, where if we're not measuring something, we're simply guessing.
Yes.
If we're not measuring, you know, how much food we're eating, if we're not measuring how much sleep we're getting, if we're not measuring, you know, what we're doing in the gym, such as, you know, reps and how many sets you're doing and what weight you're using, you're simply guessing.
Yes.
So, you know, when we talk about data, you know, we're starting to talk about collecting information about something.
Yeah.
And most of the times it's an observable thing, right? So we're observing something, a metric, and we can measure it two different ways. So firstly, which is what most of us understand, is quantitative measurements. So that's, you know, collecting numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did 10 reps of 100 kilos. I ate 100 grams of beef. I did 10,000 steps. So we're associating that with a number that we can measure on a device. Then there's the other side of it, which is qualitative measures, which is maybe something that's more described with words, or something described as a feeling or a self-perceived rating, which is a bit of a blend. So for example, you know, how energetic do you feel today on a scale of 1 to 10? So that scale of 1 to 10 is kind of in this quantitative zone, but it's a little bit of a qualitative assessment because we're not really measuring it. It's going, oh, well, how do I feel today? I feel maybe a 7 out of 10 today, right? Whereas other days it feels 10 out of 10. Other days it feels a 1 out of 10. And we can use both types of data. You know, let's say down in a training program, you can count how many reps you do, and then you could do like an RPE assessment of your rate of perceived exertion. And you go, okay, this set I did, you know, 10 reps at 100 kilos, at an effort that felt like a, you know, 8 out of 10 effort. So then we start getting this blend of this information. Then as a coach or as a self-training person, someone who's involved in the fitness culture, I go, okay, well, this is good information because the next time, if my rate of perceived exertion was at this number, then I can increase my weight next time so that I can continually see progress. Yes. But if I didn't count that information, I'll just be guessing. I'll be, well, I don't know if I'm progressing because I don't know. I just feels like I'm not progressing. So we're not measuring against something, right?
No, and also you want to make sure that you're not too much into the whole feeling thing, because sometimes your feelings can really lead you astray with all of this.
Yeah.
Like you can feel a certain way and the numbers will tell you something different.
Yeah.
So that's why the numbers are good to bring it back to reality. Because also the other thing is you might have had a bad night's sleep or something, and your rate of perceived exertion could be 10 out of 10 one day, but then the next day it could be different. Yeah. So you want to observe all of that, and you don't want to live there either. So you want to observe it over time, I think.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, time. Yeah. Very important.
We'll touch on it in a little bit, you know, especially this idea of creating a story behind the information that we gather. Like in your example, if you know that every Monday your RPE is a 10 out of 10, but then every other day it's a 6, it's like, okay, well, why does Monday suck, right?
Yeah, what did you do on the weekend?
Yeah, right? Then we can go, okay, then we could start drawing conclusions, being like, all right, why is this number so different to the rest?
Yeah.
And then we might find that the weekend might be your weak spot.
That's right. And then the thing is, from that, what you can actually do is then rearrange your training. So if Monday's never good, maybe don't have your biggest leg day on a Monday.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that sort of a thing. So that's where it's so empowering, because also nothing's set in stone. You're an individual. So with this data, you can then use it to make your best training program and eating program and other things that work for you.
Yeah. Now, you know, back to the title of this podcast, what's measured is managed.
Mm.
And I think, you know, when we start measuring an item, we do see some changes in that item. And it actually comes back down to an observable effect. It's called the observer effect. And it's mostly seen in physics, actually. And it's what it means is that when we observe something, that process of observing it actually starts to change that thing, right? An example that most of us can relate to is if you want to check the pressure in your tires. You can't check the pressure in your tires unless you let some air out, which changes the pressure of the tires, right? Now, we can see that in maybe a negative effect. Oh, well, I've lost pressure in my tires because I tried to look at it. You know, same as you want to check on your food in the oven. You open up the oven and you lose the heat in the oven, right? So there is some, you know, change that we get when we look at a thing. But we can also see that in a positive way. So, for example, there's some interesting studies that was looking at diets and diet interventions to an individual. And what they first wanted to do was to establish what these individuals were eating first before they intervened and prescribed a diet. What they did was ask these individuals just to start writing down what they ate so that they can get an assessment of what these people were eating. And what they found was before they intervened with a diet, that these individuals were starting to lose weight because they just started recording what they were eating.
Yes.
Right? So then we could see a positive change, well, you know, in the outcome of trying to lose weight, where just the act of measuring your information and what you eat started the process of weight loss and made a change to the foods that those individuals were eating. Right?
Absolutely. It's just something to do with the mindfulness, isn't it, as
well? Yeah. And, you know, an example would be maybe myself more personally. I've kind of gone through cycles of my training where, you know, maybe I follow a training program, then I kind of train a little bit of ad hoc, ad libitum, doing whatever I kind of feel like. And then, you know, maybe I kind of train with a training partner or anything in between. But I see my best progress when I have the classic, you know, pen and paper or the spreadsheet of my information, writing down what weight I used, how many sets I did, and start collecting that information. Because then the next time I train, I go, oh, well, last time I bench pressed, you know, 100 kilos for 10 reps. Well, this time I want to try to go for 100 kilos for 11 reps, yeah. or, you know, 105 kilos for 10 reps. I'm always looking for ways to improve like yeah. that, right? So just the act of me writing it down reinforced it, put it in my mind so that I can make those changes.
That's right. And it's only a little change, but that's actually what's going to see the progress moving forward. Just that little extra rep that had you not have written it down, even just psychologically, you could have just gone, oh, well, I'll do the same as last week. But when it's written down, you just tend to want to, even if you're having a bad day, you go, okay, I can do one more rep.
Yeah.
And that's just going to progress your body.
Right.
Mm.
Now, when we're talking about all this data and information, I'm sure there's probably some people listening and freaking out, being like, oh, well, geez.
Just get past this bit. Right? Yeah, yeah. Just because we said data doesn't mean it's not cool.
So it's cool. So, you know, we go, well, what do we want to measure, right? Mm. You know, there's lots of things that are important to our transformation, but then there's lots of things that just create noise, things that, you know, don't really matter. So then we go, well, what matters
with our
transformation, right? How do we block out some of the noise, and how do we start collecting the information that's important to our body transformation, right? And I think this is probably the toughest one to answer because it really depends.
It does, and I was going to say that it does depend. How do we cut through? And it does depend.
Because I think it really comes down to, you know, what's your goal and what's important to you, right? And an example would be, let's say in body composition, maybe in bodybuilding, we want to get body measurements. So you might want to be measuring, you know, how broad your shoulders are. You want to be measuring, you know, the your waist circumference, your chest circumference. I got there. You know, hips, and you know, you might be competing in a category where you want your thighs to look a certain way, but you don't really care what's happening in your upper body for whatever reason. Maybe you're a bikini athlete or something, or maybe you're a guy and you only care about the size of your arms. You don't really care about, you know, your legs, which, no judgment, right?
No judgment.
So we can place importance on those items that we want to change. Whatever variable we want to change, that's the thing that we want to measure. Yeah,
and
right?
working on that over time is going to force that change.
Right?
Yep.
So, you know, there's no point in measuring how big your biceps are if that's not important to you. Yeah. Right? Now,
if you don't care, there's no point.
Yeah. Now, some of it does take a little bit of education, right? So if you do want to change your body composition and you aren't sure what to measure, but the only thing that's important to you is the weight on the scales, that's one variable to monitor. But there's lots of other areas that could be influential in your ability to lose weight. And a prime one would be, let's say, your sleep, right?
Definitely.
So, you know, you might not know that sleep plays an important role in your body composition, in your weight loss journey. But you might start by just measuring your weight and weight changes. But then as you learn, you might go, oh, well, I'm interested in what my sleep is like. I'm interested in what my hydration is like. I'm interested in what my general energy levels are like. I'm interested in what my step count is. And we start to get interest in other variables that may be playing an impacting role.
Yeah, because they all do work together in harmony. Yeah. And also the other thing to point out is, like, after you reach the point where you understand a little bit more about body recomposition, the idea of weight loss gets replaced by fat loss, really. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. So if someone said to you, you could have your ideal body but be the same weight on the scales, you'd probably say, okay.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go, well, no, I need to be 10 kilos lighter, if they said to you. So it's really empowering to actually realize what we're actually trying to get rid of as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that really comes down to, like, kind of that specificity principle, really trying to define what we're trying to achieve. So I think it's important to define, like, what our goal is, right? You know, do you want, like, some would want just pure weight loss. It's like, I'm 80 kilos, I want to be 60 kilos no matter what. Okay, sure. But then if you keep asking that question, it's like, okay, well, do you want to be, you know, 80 kilos and be muscular, toned, in shape, you know, fit, strong?
Yep.
And then the answer might be, well, yeah, that's what I want, but I want to be 60 kilos. It's like, well, okay, maybe if we're being really specific with your goal might be that you want to look athletic and be strong and fit and toned and shaped. Rather than your goal just being 60 kilos, maybe because, you know, that's what you think you need to weigh. Or you once weighed it. But, you know, maybe we won't dive too deep into that there.
You can get obsessed with the number as well. So that's probably, I guess, the other side of the coin where data can work against you if you're obsessed with one particular number and you're like, that's what I used to be and I want to be that again.
Yeah.
Because there's so many variables that will possibly stop you from reaching that. and stop you from reaching better.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
What is better, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's another discussion.
Can of worms. I once had a conversation with a challenger. This challenger, female, she was in her 40s and she wanted to weigh 60 kilos,
mm-hmm.
right? And she was currently, I think, in the mid 80s, right? So a little bit more weight. And after speaking with this challenger, I was like, well, why is that important to you? And, you know, we spoke more and more and got deeper into the conversation. And we soon found out that she wanted to weigh 60 kilos because that's how much she weighed when she was a dancer, right?
Okay.
So in her 20s, she was a dancer.
Oh, right.
This was before work, before kids, before family, before everything in between.
Yes.
So 20 years ago, she weighed 60 kilos because she was a dancer. And then now she wanted to weigh 60 kilos again because that's how much she weighed 20 years ago,
yes.
right? So there was that little bit of a breakdown, that mental breakdown, that barrier going, okay, you know, your life is very different now to what it was 20 years ago. You know, you've had kids, you work full time, you can't dance full time, you know, very different situations. So what's important to you now? And then we soon found out that this person wanted to be healthy for their children. They wanted to be strong.
Mm.
And then we found that the weight goal was driven more by a psychological factor than an actual thing that she wanted to achieve, right?
Mm.
And it was actually closely linked to this happiness she felt when she was a dancer and the joy she had from dancing, and she linked that to the weight she weighed.
Yes.
So what we actually ended up doing was talking about getting her back into dancing, right? And she started to do some dancing classes and she felt really happy, and then the weight didn't care anymore, right?
That's beautiful. That's perfect.
That's a
See,
side story.
That's unpacking data and getting to the very core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what data can actually do. It can help you.
Yeah.
So, you should take a minute and have a think about that sort of stuff.
But, you know, like still talking about the like emotional connections to this information, I think sometimes looking at certain numbers, they're really grounded in, you know, fears and especially like self-worth, right?
Yes.
And, you know, the media doesn't really help us much. You know, maybe growing up, you know, certain influences, certain things some people might have said to us when we were kids, such as, you know, you have to weigh this amount, or, you know, this is what's normal for a person your size, and, you know, whatever
group
reason.
Weighing on the scales at school, I remember think. You know, that was pretty stressful, I think, for people at the time.
And I think, you know, especially talking about scales, that's a big one. And, you know, there is lots of fears and anxieties that come from the scales. And it's mostly based around, say, self-worth, right? It's, you know, that number on the scales doesn't dictate, you know, your happiness
or
your
relationship
success
to gravity.
Or,
that's what it is. But, you know, no one can see it like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even sit here and say, oh, my gosh, you know, don't feel emotional about it. Even knowing all the data and knowing, you know, if I write something down sometimes, I'm like, ah. But then I have to draw on my knowledge and go, okay, did you sleep well?
Yeah.
What did you eat yesterday? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, like I remember, you know, growing up, I was always like the heaviest kid in class. It was a thing, you know, going through the insecurities of teenage life and being overweight, everything in between. I happened to lose lots of weight. That was great. And over the years, my weight slowly creeped up, right? And I didn't notice any like big changes in my body composition. I was always kind of like that fit guy in my 20s, but my weight was slowly increasing, right? At first, I was a little bit shocked. I was like, oh, geez, I'm in my 90s now. Oh, I'm up to 95 now. Oh, geez. And now, you know, I hover around that 100 kilo mark, right? And I was always really anxious, being like, oh, geez, this is getting bad. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, like, you're Coach Steve, right? It's like, you know what's going on. And if anything, I started to become more proud of how much I weighed. I'm like, yeah, look how much muscle I'm growing, right? So it was that mindset shift of, you know, what was first, you know, lots of fear, anxiety, being like, oh, geez, I'm getting heavier, but, you know, I don't really look any quote-unquote fatter or whatever that word is. And now it's something that I'm kind of proud of, being like, oh, geez, I'm 100 kilos. This is awesome, right?
Yeah.
So I think it really comes down to, you know, the way that we perceive some of the numbers, maybe
definitely
our emotional connection
what's
to those
associated
numbers.
Associated with it. I mean, now that you mentioned that, there is, since all the bodybuilding shows were cancelled last year, a really great thing has happened even to women's bodybuilding in the way that, well, not bodybuilding, but fitness, physique, all that sort of stuff. We've all had to have a bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's had an off season, if you like, or a building season. So it is really well celebrated everywhere to talk about how much you actually have gained in terms of muscle. And, you know, there's women that are like, oh, I'm 75 kilos now and I'm feeling great. And that's just a number. That's just something that I pulled out because I saw it today. That's not good or bad, but I'm talking about full of muscle. And that's something that's just started to be celebrated. And I think that's just because of what's happened in the last year. Nobody's been able to compete and everybody's had a minute to be able to celebrate actually building muscle, the process of that and what that means.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to be doing this because it's in to gain and enjoy that as well.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Now, looking in talking about data, you know, we can't step aside from the fact that it can be challenging to measure things, right? And probably the big one is, you know, things like time, right? If you've gone from, you know, eating a certain way for a really long time and then now we're telling you that you need to measure all your food and track it in, you know, like an app or a book or something like that and follow a meal plan, everything in between, like that can be really time consuming. Oh. That can be lots of like stress and
it
lots
feels
of...
feels like a sentence at first. It's like a jail sentence.
Yep.
Is that the only way that that I could possibly get results? What are you talking about? You know, it takes me enough time to go to the supermarket and get the food and now you're telling me I have to write it all down.
And then you know, measure all these other things and track all these other things, right?
Yeah. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it really does go through like a spectrum, right? So I think like the first step is, you know, like I have no idea, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that conscious competence model, right? Where you are, you know, you don't know that you don't know, right?
Yeah.
You're like, let's say talking about food, you don't know what you're eating, right? You have no idea what numbers or you don't know how much energy is in the food, you don't know what time of day you're eating, you just... you know, eat, right?
Yeah, you just eat. And some people eat and they're full and that's done and they move on. And then other people have emotional connections with it all.
Yeah.
So that you know, that's where it kind of gets a bit tricky because that's where things, you're overeating, you don't even realize it.
Yeah. And look, we're really trying to change something, right? So like if you have no idea, you know, maybe changing the topic to, let's say, training. Like if you have no idea about progression or progressive overload in your training, if you have no idea about technique or reps or sets, but you're going into the gym just on feel, it's like, oh, I just want to get sweaty or I'm chasing the pump or I'm just trying to do as much as I can in an hour, go, 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 go. You have no idea where you are in time and then you don't know if you're going to get better next time. You don't know if you're improving. You don't know if that's working, right? So you generally have no idea unless we start measuring, right? Or you have just no clue in what those numbers are, right? Then we kind of like move into that next spectrum where we kind of become like guessing, right?
Yeah.
So if I was to say to you, you know, how many calories did you eat today?
Yeah.
You kind of just make up a number like, oh, maybe 2,000, maybe 2,500.
Yeah, that's if you even know at all.
Yeah.
Like if you know about caloric values and you have a bit of a guess, yeah, you and then the thing is, yeah, with guessing, often you can be so off.
Yeah. So that's when we maybe start learning a few things. You might be like, oh, well, I know that, you know, this serving of chicken has about, you know, 150 calories and this serving of rice has about this. So, you know, maybe this meal has, I don't know, maybe like 500 calories, maybe, right? And that might be like that beginner steps. And this is okay because it's a bit of a spectrum where we go, okay, now you have some idea. It might not be completely right, but we have, you know, a little bit of an idea.
Yeah.
We face problems when we kind of go into that Dunning-Kruger effect where, you know, we become experts overnight where we're like, oh, yeah, no, this has 554 calories in one meal and that's exactly how much my body absorbs. And goes, okay.
Yeah, because there's so many variables as well. We won't talk about it, but, yeah, it's just your body takes certain energies to digest certain foods and all sorts of stuff like that. But that, don't even need to worry.
And, you know, maybe like in a different example in life is, let's say something like the weather, right?
Mm.
You know, right now recording this, we're in an office. We look outside, it looks nice. So if I was to go, Nick, what's the temperature outside? You can guess, right?
I can guess just by looking at that tree out there. It's not too windy.
Yeah.
You know, it looks,
the sun's out.
The sky's blue. Right. Yeah, I'd say 18, 19.
Right. But we might be really, really off.
It could be 40.
Yeah. Because then we can kind of go into that next step where we kind of take like an educated guess, right? So that's when we start to, you know, learn, we start to understand some principles, we start to apply some logic to it. And if we were to continue with our example of the weather, we might start making conclusions. We're like, oh, well, this, I can see the sun, it's, you know, summertime, you know, over the past couple of weeks, it's been this type of temperature. So, you know, maybe I can make a more educated guess being maybe between 20 and 23 degrees outside or whatever it is, right? So we can start making those next steps.
Yeah.
Now, the educated guess can take some time because we need to educate, right? But then we can start making a bit of a better gauge of where we are, right? Now, some of us might just maybe get to this point and stay there.
That's right.
Some of us might never get there, right?
Yeah.
Some of us are still stuck guessing rather than making
guessing.
Like a...
Exactly.
Yeah. And going back to like calories, an analogy that I remember learning years ago was the difference between counting calories, which can be really tedious at times.
Yes.
So counting calories versus becoming calorie aware.
Mm.
So, you know, very similar to educated guessing is becoming, you know, aware of things and going, okay, you know, this chocolate bar has 200 calories. Oh, okay. Like maybe you might be slightly off where you're... the chocolate bar has 190 calories, but you're like, oh, it's about 200 calories, yeah. Right? So we're starting to get this educated guess. And maybe your guessing gets to a point where you're within 10% plus or minus of where you are. And that's a good place to
be.
That's
pretty good.
Right? And if I was to raise my hand, like, that's where I am right now.
Yep.
Where, you know, I'm not really competing in anything yet.
Yeah,
and, yet. You know, like for me to just consistently stay in my body composition, you know, I am calorie aware. I kind of know... maybe this little bit more of intuitive eating. Like I know roughly what I'm eating. I know how to stay within my range and then I'm consistently achieving. So that's okay for my goals and
that's
my outcomes.
Right.
But then we kind of go into that next level, probably, Nick, where you are.
Yes.
Where we're talking about being really precise.
Yeah,
right?
Everything's measured, everything's tracked. But that is also completely in line with my values at the moment. So
mm-hmm.
for me, it's a pleasure to do because
mm-hmm.
I know that it's going to get the outcome that I want.
Yeah.
So it's not... at the point where it doesn't impact negatively on me. It's actually just, it's helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't view it as an emotional thing either. I just go, that's part of what I need to do to get to where I want to get to. And it's actually, it makes my job a lot easier
mm-hmm.
than resisting it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that precision is where I need to be. But to live a life with my children, with you know, to have eventually when we're allowed to go on holidays,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of stuff like that. I don't want to live in precision land forever.
No.
I want to get to my goal. I want to do what I want to do.
Mm.
And then I'll go back to educated guessing and being aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it really depends on where you are and then the goal,
mm.
right? So
exactly.
If we were to bring it back to the weather, you know, today, like it doesn't, to me, that's not important what the weather is.
Mm.
But let's say I was going to go surfing, right? Or maybe the other side, I was going to go to the snow. I'm really interested in what the weather is. I'm interested if it's raining, if it's windy, what the humidity's like, if the sun's out, if the cloud's out, what the UV levels
yep.
are. Maybe if I'm going out hiking, I want to be aware of like the pollen levels so that I don't get my hay fever. So there's sometimes I want to be really precise.
And you want to plan.
I want to plan so that I can achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, you know, it's okay to take an educated guess. Sometimes it's okay to take a guess where you
yep.
might go, oh, well, yeah, it looks sunny today. I might, you know, not bring a jacket. Then you might face problems because it might rain a little bit later. But then sometimes you want to be really precise. So there definitely is a spectrum
yep.
of where we want to sit, and that can change, right?
Exactly. It can change. It
mm.
changes based on your goals and based on your surroundings and how much time and effort you wish to put into that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you don't have to live in any one section. It's just
no.
if you know all of these different places, you don't. They're like towns. You don't have to live there. You can visit. You
yep.
can come back to the other one. You know, guessing and educated guessing, that's a good place to be.
Yeah. Now, whenever we're measuring something, there's a certain level of error
mm-hmm.
that we need
always.
To be aware of.
Yeah.
Right? And what I mean by error is, you know, sometimes when we're measuring something, that could be wrong. Sometimes there's other variables that can influence that measure. You know, using, let's say, the weather as an example, right? How many times have you... You know, we're recording this in Melbourne, right? And in Melbourne, you know, we get the four seasons
yeah.
in a day, right? How many times have you looked at the weather and gone, oh, it's going to be 25 degrees. And the next thing you know, it's raining outside. It's horrible. It's basically wintertime. You're like, wow, I thought it was going to be 25 degrees. So there's errors in the tools that, you know, meteorologists use to measure the weather.
Yeah.
And then there's also other variables. So for example, it could be 25 degrees outside, but it could be really humid. So
yes.
it feels like 30 degrees. Or the other way, it could be really windy and
windy.
It's quite cold,
yeah.
right? And it feels like it's 20
makes
degrees.
It freezing, yeah.
So
it feels like that.
We need to be aware that there are variables that can influence it,
mm.
our data. And an example, bringing it back to fitness, would be our weight.
Yes.
Right? Often, weight is used as the metric that most of us base our progress from. So if I weighed this many kilos, I want to weigh this many kilos, and that's what we base our progress off. Is that the most accurate way? No, we've kind of spoken about it already in this
yes.
podcast. But, you know, it does give us good information, especially
it
if
does.
if our overarching goal is to lose body weight and body fat, you know, that number on the scale does play a role, especially if we are in this maybe advanced category. It's really difficult to continue to build muscle. So maybe when we are in a calorie deficit, we're likely to lose body fat. So then we see the weight drop slightly. So it is a number that we want to be aware of, but we also need to be aware that it fluctuates a lot.
And yeah, we don't want to throw in any towels based on just one one set of data here.
Yeah.
So you don't want to hang your hat on it.
No. And, you know, as an example, like, I will challenge you, if you're listening to this, is to weigh yourself a few times throughout the day and watch how your weight changes. Yeah. So you'll notice that your weight changes before and after you go to the toilet, before and after you eat, before and after you train. And it's basically mainly built around how much fluid we have in our body, mainly water, and then also gut residue, so like the food that you consume. So your weight changes from hour to hour.
And women's cycles as well, yes, around the menstrual cycle, yep, that kind of, yeah, that really does change your weight.
Yeah. Yep. So if you were to base your entire progress off your weight, and then you weighed yourself at, I don't know, 6 a.m. on a Monday, and then 3 weeks later you weighed yourself at 8 p.m. on a Friday, we go, okay, if you're going to compare those two points in time, you're missing out on lots of different variables,
wow,
right?
Yeah.
So we need to understand that it can change a lot, and it's not fair to judge our progress off these two random points, no, right? And, you know, bringing back to the example of, let's say, the weather again, right? If you wanted to base summertime and try to compare this summer to last summer, you wouldn't compare, you know, January 1st in 2020 to February 22nd in 2021 and be like, oh well, this summer is warmer than last summer. That's not a great way to compare the two.
No, and
right?
You know what, if you said that to anyone, they would say you can't compare it when it's just those two numbers.
Yeah And we see that in the challenge, we see that within fitness culture, within our fitness journeys, where if I was to compare, you know, one training day to the next training day, but then, you know, that next training day, I performed lower than the first training day. And then, well, I throw my towels up, my hands in the air and go, well, I guess training's not for me because yeah, I'm decreasing. It's like, well, hold on a second. Like, there's other variables you said before, something like sleep. Like, maybe I had a really bad night's sleep. Of course, I can't deadlift as much as I did the day before.
And yeah, really, nor would you want to. Sometimes your body is actually trying to help you out by giving you some data, say, slowing you down and going, wait a minute, Steve, yep, if you lift that number, something will happen to you.
Yeah.
You know, injury, recovery taking longer. So sometimes the data is actually there to help us, or, you know, it's to slow us down.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be positive go, go, go data. You're going to see some trends where you go, hang on, what do I need to look at here to then progress? Sometimes you've got to go backwards to go forward. You might need a rest day.
Yeah.
You know, you might need to back it off a little bit.
So I think the best way to rule out all these variables is kind of what we do in statistics, which is just an average model.
Yes, that's all,
right?
We can really do.
That's all
do.
We can
yeah.
do. So let's take weight as an example. There's, you know, you could weigh yourself once a month, once a week, once a year. But the more that we collect that information, the more we can start to see trends and the more we can average it out.
Exactly.
So instead of comparing, you know, Monday week one to Monday week two, it's better to measure out the average of that week. So you measure your weight on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You measure your average and compare that average from week one to the average of week two. Then you get this nice monthly, weekly average, and then you can even get like a monthly average. So then we start to really average out our process, right?
Yeah.
And you might see that there's a general trend in a certain direction by these averages. You know, we kind of saw that with the statistics that were thrown up on TV with COVID. You know, there's the rolling average. So, you know, one day there might be, you know, 50 new cases, the next day might be 5 new cases, but the rolling average is this much. So we're more interested in what the trend is compared to individual data points.
That's right.
Right. And, you know, back to my example of the weather, if you were to compare this summer to last summer, what you would probably do is try to get the 90 days of information. So you get, you know, all of December, January, and February, you get 90 days of information, and you work out the average, right? If you want to take it the next step, you probably do like the mean analysis. So you sum all of the 90 bits of information divided by 90, so you get an average. You can use maybe a median where you get the middle, so you rule out some of the outliers. Then you might take it to the next step and go, oh, well, I want to work out what the average low temperature and the average high temperature was. Then you can start making a better, provide a better answer, make a better decision.
That's a big picture.
So, yes, it takes a little bit of work. Yes, we are running a little bit of statistics, and for some that might be, oh, that's not what I do. But if you want the best transformation, if you want the best control and power over your body, over your process, over your challenge, you know, these are some of the things that we need to start taking control of and going, hey, this is the information I'm going to get. Because then once we get that information, then we can take the next step where we can start making decisions for that information.
And that is empowering. That means that you're not handing it over to anyone. You can make decisions based on what you can see with your data, and then you can come and you can ask for advice, but it's an educated point.
Yeah.
Like that's where we can then go, okay, how's your data been tracking? Ah, great. And it's usually for us, we can then input it in and come up with something that will really take you then to the next point that you want to be at.
Yeah.
Rather than going back to going, wait a minute, how many calories are you eating? You know, and we're all guessing again, because we always just end up at point one.
Yeah.
And no one who's doing this challenge wants to stay at point one.
No.
You don't sign up for it if you want to. You're not a point one person.
Yeah, I think that to make a decision, you really need a base of data.
I agree. And I really, I'd like to make data sound cuter, so then people will listen to this, because
data sounds sexy.
Yeah, data, yay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we can sing a song at the start of this, but if you've listened to this, some things might be clicking in you, but it's just so empowering, because once you understand calories, once you understand trends in lifting, you understand progression in that way as well, there's nothing that you can't do with your body in any direction.
Yeah. And I think I see it a lot in the challenge. We'll get like a simple question, such, or maybe more of a closer to a comment, somewhat of a question, stating something like, I've been following the plan to a T and I'm not losing weight. Am I doing something wrong? Right. And it's a big question.
It's a huge question
because my initial response is, well, it depends. I need more information from that.
That's
right?
Where we start, don't we?
Where we start. So it's like, okay, to answer your question, I want to know, okay, like, how many calories are you eating, right? How many steps are you doing? What's your physical activity like? Are you progressing in your training? What's your sleep like? What's your stress like? What's your social environment like? Are you having any, I mean, how old are you, right? Like all these other factors. So there's so many things that influence it, where it's not just a simple like if-then statement. It's not a Boolean statement. It's not no simple answer, where lots of times it's like, well, it depends. So hopefully with the challenge, we start to highlight some key bits of information that we want you to measure, right? For example, how many calories you're eating, right? Yeah. For example, how many steps you're taking, right? For example, you know, what's your sleep like? What's your stress levels like? You know, what's your progression in the gym like? These types of things. Because then we can start making decisions. Because then you go, okay, well, I'm not losing weight. But you might be staring at the elephant in the room going, well, I get 4 hours sleep a night.
Yeah.
You know, I do everything else right, Coach Steve, but, you know, don't talk about sleep. Like, what can I do? It's like, well, I'm sorry, you need to fix your sleep, right? Or someone who might be like, oh, well, I do, you know, 20,000 steps a day. I work 14 hours a day, but I'm not seeing any progress in my training. Then we go, okay, well, thanks for providing that information. We go, well, right now you're doing too much exercise to see any progress in your training. We need to find ways to modify that or adjust how much we're doing so that you can continue to see progress, right?
Yeah, because sometimes even you see people saying, I'm doing 25,000 steps. I don't have time to do my weights training. I'm doing that and I'm sticking to the nutrition. And even just by saying that, we get to get the data and we go, okay, how can we fit your weights training in, which is the primary, like we need to make time for that. We need to find in the building blocks.
Yep.
You can't skip anything. So sometimes just by providing us with that data, you might be doing more steps.
Yeah.
But less of the things in the gym that we probably would need you to do. And just by pointing that out, we can collect that data and go, okay, how do we fit it in to the data that is a week, the 7 days? How are we going to prioritize that? So that's what you need to do as well with the timetable at home, and just look at your own data and look at where you can prioritize things and what hours you can fit into your week. So even your own timetable is data.
Yeah. Or even just the classic, you know, like, I don't have time to train, or I don't have time to do anything, right? The classic, I don't have time. You know, a little exercise that you can do is to start writing down, you know, how you spend your time, right? So if you wrote like a little journal or a diary or a schedule in your calendar or something like that, where you started to track where you spend your time, you might find that you go, oh, wow, I spent, you know, 8 hours this week watching Netflix, which, you know, for some that's okay, but for others that might be like, well, there's 8 hours you could have been training if you decided. So then it comes down to a choice. And if you go, if you put that blanket statement of, oh, I don't have time, it's like, okay, well, prove that you don't have time, right?
Yeah.
Or, so if you can't, like, prove that you don't have time, it's like, well, maybe you do have time. Maybe you're choosing not to have time. Or maybe you're using it as, like, a false excuse to not put in any effort somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think revealing your own data to yourself is the key. And once you do write it down, no matter what it is, whether it's time, whether it's fooling yourself that you get 8 hours of sleep, you know, and then if you get one of these tracking watches that actually pulls you up and goes, no, you're not even fit to be awake today.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. Then you get this thing giving you a bit of data that, you know, that's the sort of thing that will then, it'll pull you up. Data pulls you up and keeps you in check.
Yeah.
And actually turns you into a champion.
Yeah.
But like a champion, even just in terms of getting healthy.
Yep.
You know, that like there are different levels. So just getting healthy, being able to move properly, empowering yourself with your food choices. That's all data.
Well, you become like a data coach where the numbers coach you through it.
Yeah.
Where sure, like we could be there for your coach. You might be paying someone to coach you.
Mm-hmm.
You might have 10 coaches with you. But what really comes down to is as soon as you see that number, you go, okay, like, no, I haven't been sleeping. I need to fix that. Or no, I am really stressed. Or no, I only did 1,000 steps today.
Yeah.
Or I really need to be more physically active.
Yeah.
So you can guess and try to fool yourself or make up false excuses in that guessing area. Or you can look at the data and make decisions from that and then modify it as you go.
Yeah, numbers don't lie. That's another thing. I remember an old coach used to tell me, look, numbers don't lie. So say for me, if I wasn't progressing in my lifting, we would go back and go, what have you done this week? Why haven't you recovered?
Yeah.
You know, and I would be accountable for that because the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, we need to be careful with the language because sometimes the numbers might lie because the variables might change.
True.
I think what you're saying is, okay, the numbers aren't changing. We need to find out why.
That's right. Yeah. So that they can be tricky.
Yeah.
They can be tricksters.
So, I mean, just to change the language, you know, like that training session in the gym, you know, the numbers don't lie because, you know, this is what you're performing right now. But then we need to find out, well, why aren't you improving?
Exactly.
You know, if your goal is weight loss, not fat loss, weight loss, you want to lose weight on the scales and you're not going... it's not going down, we need to find out, well, why?
Mm.
And to find out that answer, we need to start creating evidence to make that decision from data, right? Now, we do face problems in making that decision when we start comparing data, either to other data points or to other people's data, right?
We see that quite a bit where this person's lifting this or this person has lost this amount.
Yep.
And
or even just the classic where... in the challenge, you'll see that there's a calorie number on your nutrition plan. And straight away, we compare it to what we think we should be having. And we go, oh, well, it's too high for me. And it's like, okay, what are you basing it off? Oh, well, because
I've never eaten that in my life.
Yeah, I only eat 800 calories. It's like, okay, how do you know that you only eat 800 calories? How do you know that, you know, 1,600 calories is going to be bad for you? Like, what do you know, right? So, and I don't mean that... you don't know, but it's that step of being like, okay, well, start collecting information and going, all right, can you prove that this is too much for you? Like, what evidence can you find that says that this number means anything other than a feeling, other than comparing it off something that you think or believe or previous expectations or anything in between?
That emotional realm, the guessing and emotional and the feeling. That needs to come out of it a little bit when you're first exploring data, and you need to just go with hard facts.
Yep.
So if you are eating 800 calories, you need to really document that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, prove to me you're eating 800 calories. Like,
because often then there are some problems with that as it is anyway. So you'd want to get away from 800 calories. It's not a good town to be in either.
No.
The town of 800.
You want to
leave that town too. So.
Yeah.
So even if you are there for whatever reason, you don't want to be. The idea in life really is to be able to eat as many calories as you can while maintaining a lean body mass. So like we want to empower you to get to that.
Yeah.
Food is great. Food is our friend. Food is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's fuel, but it's also part of life. It's part of the very fabric of life. So you want to almost peel yourself back, understand the data, so then you can get to the point where you can go out to dinner and you can roughly estimate the calories. And No one can even see that you're doing that in your head. You're not the person that looks at the menu and goes, can you take the dressing off this? You just do it. You just get naturally quite good at seeing what you need to do and moving through your life really, really well. That's the ultimate goal, I reckon.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So look, in summary of what we talked about today, I think the overarching principle here is what's measured is managed. What's measured is changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be collecting data, and change the word data is maybe information. We want to be collecting information and data about our progress so that we can make good decisions along the way.
Definitely. Right? Information about ourselves, which is that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
So
then we know, we can be confident that we are improving or not improving. We know that we are reaching our goal or not reaching our goal.
Mm.
We need to be careful that we're not getting emotionally invested in this number or this information, because, you know, that doesn't define our self-worth.
Not at all.
And we also need to know that sometimes the numbers can have influencing factors, which is kind of part of the game, where we need to find out, you know, what's influencing this number, right? So such as weight on the scales, it's like, well, what things can influence that? Then we want to be really interested in collecting more information about the things that influence that.
That's right, because it's all changeable. It's all malleable once we find out what it is that's causing it.
Yeah. But there you go, guys. Collect as much data as we can. And when we could do that from the classic pen and paper, we could do that on a spreadsheet, which is built into our programs.
Yes, we have that. So.
And there's also really cool apps. You know, there's some great apps out there that can help us with the data managing process. But, you know, if there was one thing that I would tell myself years ago when I first started getting into the fitness culture as a big umbrella, would be to measure things and manage things. And the best thing you could do is look back at old training logs and seeing what works for your body. Or the best thing you could do is look back at old maybe diets that you followed or meal plans that you followed and going, wow, like that thing when I followed it worked really well for me. So then we start getting this good history. We get this good understanding of our body and what works for us. Because, you know, things can be slightly different for each individual.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to take away from this that not to fear the numbers, to become friends with them.
Become friends with the numbers.
I think so. Friends with the numbers.
Yeah. The numbers are friends, they not are. Food.
No.
Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch you next week on the Challenge Weekly Show.
Thanks, guys.